This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome. It's our bonus Q&A episode of Books of the Year. We're here in the studio with author Kylie Reid, whose current book we have just discussed and is available in our previous podcast. Come and get it. The mint green cover.
Mint green. Yeah.
That's the thing. So, Kylie, what is the last book that you really, really underlined in italics and bold, enjoyed reading?
All right, I'm going to take the joy part of enjoyed and lead with that.
Okay.
I read Heartburn by Nora Ephron, her one novel, and it is the most delightful book. And the fact that it's about a woman who discovers her husband is cheating on her when she's 7 months pregnant, the fact that you can find joy and tenderness out of that, I think is really spectacular. Her writing just pops off the page. It's so fun. I don't think anyone does a romantic comedy like she does. And I did the Audible version, which is read by Meryl Streep, and it's unsurprisingly very, very good.
Are you a fan of audio? So we're just off topic here, but on the subject of audiobooks, I'm just starting to do them again. And when you get the right book with the right voice, that's very powerful.
It is so powerful. And I am now an Audible person because I have a daughter. And that just was the way that I was reading. And now I have my favorite Audible narrators, Dion Graham in particular. I'll read anything that he does. He does James Baldwin's whole catalog, which is wonderful. He did The Wager. I don't know if you read that one as well, with the big 1700 ship.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
He's incredible. I would have never picked up a book about a shipwreck unless Dion Graham was narrating it. So yeah, he's wonderful.
So he's the guy, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I've got... In fact, I've got a hard book and a paperback of that.
It's great.
But now I think
I don't need either of those.
What I want is what
you have
I need.
To have it in all three.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just on Nora Ephron. So the book Heartburn, is that, it's, I'm guessing it's funny because it's Nora.
It's
so,
funny. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I had no idea she'd done a novel. So
it's
was this.
A novel. Yeah.
Okay, was this during her screenwriting work, or was this before? Or
that's a great question. I have no idea where its placement was. It was suggested to me on Audible, and I ate it up. And it's just, there's songs in it, there's recipes in it. It's about food. It's a great book. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So your recommendation. So, and that's an Audible recommendation. So that's an audio book recommendation.
That's an Audible book recommendation.
Okay. Heartburn, Nora Ephron.
Do you work well to deadlines? Do you need a deadline, or will you just ignore them?
I would never ignore a deadline.
She's a professor.
Clearly, yeah.
I love a deadline. Time is very important to me. My students know this. You need to be in my class, and your stuff needs to be in my inbox on time. I can you tell?
Yes.
Yes. Right now.
I feel as I'm in your class.
Yeah.
I think that adhering to time just really helps my work, but I'm also really obsessed with how time works in a novel as well. Time just is a huge part of my personality, I think. And yeah, deadlines help me a lot.
Do you know the Douglas Adams quote about deadlines?
I don't.
He said, "I love deadlines. I love the whooshing sound they make as they go flying past."
Oh God, no!
He was like the worst ever. You know, he was just absolutely terrible with deadlines. But
deadlines are wonderful.
Okay, so there you go. Absolutely the word. So we're big fans of libraries here on the podcast. We talk about libraries. In fact, I maintain that librarians should probably run the world, especially school librarians. are on the front line anyway, and they're much maligned. Do you use libraries? Do you go into, I imagine the University of Michigan has got a fantastic library and that your students can always find you in there studying.
Oh God,
where do libraries fit into your life?
I love libraries very much. And now that I have a daughter too, I love libraries even more.
How old is she?
She's 21 months now. And so
she's 21.
Yes. But I love libraries and I wrote so much of Such a Fun Age in the Fayetteville Public Library. They have a room that has maybe 100-foot ceilings and the wood is carved like the inside of a book spine on the ceiling. So it's like you're inside of a book. It's very beautiful. And I just got to revisit it and do a talk for about 500 people when I was there last week, which was a great full circle moment.
Okay. So and if you had a favorite library, would that be the one you choose?
It's the Fayetteville Public Library.
Okay,
it's amazing.
We can't actually get there very often.
No, we can't.
I'm so sorry.
But I'm intrigued as to why that library, just because it was so aesthetically gorgeous or because it was silent. What was it about that library that was helping you to write?
It is aesthetically gorgeous. There's something about libraries that's really great that it's one of the few shared resources that everyone uses. And so it's people who are like me and applying to grad school or someone who doesn't have a computer at home and that's their internet time while they are there. The librarians are so on top of it and it runs like a machine. They offer so many things. I love libraries that offer cooking supplies that you can take home. That library also offers art that you can rent out and put up for 6 months.
Wow.
And go home. Yeah, they're really great.
This is very different to the libraries I've been used to. No one's offered to give me a whisk. Or anything else.
No.
painting.
And I would imagine, just incorporating two of the questions, that the idea of handing a book back late would...
Oh, God, never. Never. Crime.
Never. Okay. Do you have, we talked about the library there, do you have a favorite place to write? Is there somewhere where you go, this is my spot, this is where I write?
It's probably my office. Pretty simple. Well, see, here's the thing. I wrote Such a Fun Age.
Which is your previous book. Mm-hmm.
Yes, my previous book, on the floor next to a heater. And I now have to go to the chiropractor because of that. So my favorite place to write is the floor. My appropriate place to write is my desk. Yeah.
I don't think anyone has ever said the floor.
I love the floor, but it's terrible for me, so I can't do it anymore. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
It feels like, because it can't possibly have been comfortable sitting on the floor. It feels like you had a day where you were like everything was clicking.
Yes.
And so and then it's a bit like, you know, footballers who, when they play a really good game and realize, oh, I put my socks on last.
Uh-huh.
That game I put my socks on. So from now on, I'm always putting my socks on last. So were you sitting on the floor because you just happened to have one day where everything clicked?
Probably. I had to recreate the magic.
Yeah.
And my body paid.
Yeah.
And then your body clicked.
Yes.
We often like to surprise our guests with a question from a fellow author and fan. We have a voice note here from Yomi Adegoke.
Hi, Simon and Matt. And hello, Kylie. As you know, Such a Fun Age was a huge inspiration for my debut novel, The List. So my question is, were there any books that inspired the writing of your new book, Come and Get It?
Well, I guess you've mentioned some of them.
I have. That's so nice of you. Okay. I'm trying to think of a few others that weren't directly related that inspired Come and Get It. I do have to bring up Freedom by Jonathan Franzen again. Mm. That was one, the way that the chapters worked. Also, you know, it's completely different, but Colson Whitehead's book, The Underground Railroad.
Oh, what a book that is.
The variation in the chapters was really inspiring, and the way that he did structure, I was thinking of that book a lot when I was doing the structure of Come and Get It. I'm trying to think if there were any others involved in there. I read a lot of campus policy books that were very boring.
Yes, they sound boring.
Yeah, they were terrible. I wanted to make sure I was doing everything right. There's a few things with dogs in this book, and my husband taught animal law for a second, so I read a book all about animal law, which was so boring, but led me to a few insights about this book.
Animal law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't... Yeah. What's animal law?
Like, you can take my husband's class if you ever...
Okay,
in
right.
Arkansas. It's like, you know, if a dog bites you, what happens?
Oh,
and if a police officer shoots a dog, what's going on? I don't know why. I thought that would lead me to the truth of my novel. It didn't, but I'm glad that I read it. Yeah.
You're just mentioning Underground Railroad. I finished that book when I was on holiday, had a family holiday in Iceland. And I was up first. I went down to breakfast and I finished the book. And just because it felt like the right thing to do, I went on Twitter and I added Coles and Whitehead, who doesn't know me from Adam, obviously, just said, just finished, you know, one of the most extraordinary books. And he was clearly on at the same time. And he just messaged back saying, hey, thanks, Simon. You
know, you're just buddies.
Which was, but it was just absolutely blown away. You know, that there I was in Iceland and there's Coles and Whitehead, wherever he was. Yeah. We were just having this conversation. But what a mate. Do you know him?
I've met him once and he was very lovely, but I don't know him.
Okay. I've spoken to him via Twitter.
I think you guys are close. Yes,
very close.
Almost the same. Is there a character or plot line that you wish you'd come up with that you're jealous with?
All right, the one that really stands out to me is I remember the night that I read Gone Girl, and I said I have to know what happens. Mm. There's that. That's what I want to give readers so often is that pull of like I cannot put this down. And that nice little plot twist in Gone Girl, she's benefited hugely from that, and she deserves all the praise. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading that on the beach in St. Ives. I remember reading it there. And there is it's a bit like the One Day book, David Nichols' book, in that you're going, I'm just going to have one more chapter.
Yep.
Just one more chapter, and then I'm going in the sea. Actually, just one more chapter, and then I'm going to go into the sea. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah.
And then the whole day is gone.
The whole day's gone.
The sunset has already happened, and you still haven't gone in the sea.
Yep.
How do you arrange your books at home, if we were to wander around?
Miserably.
Oh, good.
They're just everywhere, and they're mixed into my husband. There's a shelf of galleys. That's kind of the one lawful place. Sometimes I do them by size, but there's also, I will say there's a small stack of books that are my absolute favorites. And when I get a little bit stuck in my own writing, I find myself pulling one out and saying, let me just open to a random page and see what the professionals are doing.
Right. So there's no alphabet. There's no subject. There's
no, no. All of my orderliness goes to time and everything else is just a mess.
We had John Boyne on, we've had him on a number of times, and he arranges his books geographically.
Oh, wow.
He has Irish fiction, British fiction, American fiction, the rest of the world, so he knows, you know, different parts of the house, different geographical location.
That's pretty great. I like that. I do have a James Baldwin section because I have so many of his books. There's a children's section.
Okay, so there is some order here. It's not
a little.
Yeah.
But most shelves are just books.
Ramshackle.
Yeah.
We've already talked about Gone Girl, but do you have a favorite screen adaptation of a book?
I do. I saw We Need to Talk About Kevin before I read the book by Lionel Shriver, and I loved the movie so much that I went and read the book, and the book held up in a completely different way. What a haunting, sensitive, and violent book and story that is. That's definitely my favorite.
Yeah. Wow. What an astonishing piece. Both of them. Astonishing pieces of work.
So here's your favorite question, brackets least favorite. You're throwing a fantasy dinner party, Carly, and you can invite three authors, living or dead. Who's coming? Now, tell us, first of all, what you think about dinner parties.
I hate dinner parties.
Yes.
Because
I don't want to go to them. I like to go to bed at 9:30, and I eat with my baby at 5 every day. Uh-huh. And so when someone's asked me, oh, do you want to go to dinner at 7:30? I'm like, at night? I can't handle it.
I feel as though this is a memo to your
your
agent, your publishers. Listen up, everybody. Kylie might be here, but she does not want to go out for a meal.
I do not want to go out for a meal. But I do it sometimes. And if I was going to invite any three authors.
Three authors, alive or dead. Let's say they're coming around for lunch, if you like. Coming around for a sandwich. And then they'll be gone by the time you need to talk to your kid.
Okay. Okay. Oh, this is so hard. This is so, so hard. I've said his name a bunch, but I'm going to say James Baldwin.
I was going to thought you were going to say him.
I think that there's such a it factor of poise. And sometimes when I've had writing lulls, I'll Google YouTube videos of him doing speeches. And he is just out of this world. So James Baldwin is one.
Okay.
I'm going to jazz it up a little bit and say, okay. Probably once a year, I like to dip into a celebrity memoir, and I'm going to say Jessica Simpson.
Okay.
I loved her memoir. She actually gives dollars and cents and will tell you how much money she makes for a bar mitzvah, how much she made for her father made as a pastor, and I would love for her and James Baldwin to have a conversation.
Okay.
So she's the second one. One more. B. because I just listened to half of Sula and loved it on the plane, I would invite Toni Morrison as well.
Wow. And do you think they'd get on?
The three of them famously, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what would you serve?
What would I serve? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm such a bad cook.
The reason I ask is, last time we got into one of these conversations, was it with Alex Michaelides?
Yeah.
He was talking about Agatha Christie, who apparently, if she came round for dinner, would only drink full fat cream.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that from anyone anywhere in the world at any stage, but she would only...
That's going to haunt me.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Agatha, I'm not serving you full fat... I know you're Agatha Christie. I'm not giving you cream. Wow. Have some water.
Have some milk.
Have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Anything but that.
Can you imagine?
No.
Full fat cream. Get out of here.
That's like a baby. That's crazy.
I love the fact that you chose Jessica's book, because sort of celebrity memoirs are the thing that we will often look down on, because we think, you know, this isn't real literature, or we think, you know, it's all been ghostwritten anyway. When you said that she, dollars and cents, what I took from that was not just you saying, this is how much I'm getting paid. Dollars and cents to me says, I'm going to give you everything. Yeah. And some of this, you're not going to think too well of me when I tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because it's what happened.
Exactly.
And those celebrity memoirs are the ones to hunt down. I read a lot of sport books, and you can tell within 10 pages whether someone's going to be honest or not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the ones that where they do decide, I'm going to be honest, they'll include stories there where they don't come across well at all.
That's what you want to read. Mm. It's like, you don't want to read the thing that they say in every single interview. You want them to name names.
Correct. You've got to name names.
You have to. Yeah. There's no point unless you're going to do it, which she does. She talks so much shit about John Mayer. It's amazing. So I would want her and James Baldwin and Toni Morrison to have a conversation for sure. What would I serve? Mm,
not cream.
Honestly, I think I would just order a bunch of tacos from my favorite Mexican place. And if they don't like it, that's okay.
They can leave.
Yeah.
What are you writing next? I got an idea. How about Christian hairstyles for women and A to Z?
I think I would enjoy that. I'm always writing something. I'm going to be a little bit coy about this one because it's still in the works. But if you can believe it, I'm still writing the adaptation for the Such a Fun Age film adaptation. It got so delayed from COVID and the strike and everything else, but we have a really great team, and I'm crossing fingers that things will go well this time.
Kylie Reid's new book is Come and Get It. It's published by Bloomsbury. It's out now. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us at any time, you can email booksoftheyear@yahoo.com or via our socials. Back next week, going to be joined by the architectural historian and author, Anarchy. So that is Anarchy in the UK.
Oh, that's very good.
Imagine being called Anarchy. That's your name. I hope you can join us then.